I'd started working on a new app.
Ooh.
Half an hour ago.
Okay.
I just stood up from a session watching TikTok and watching the world collide or collapse and having this weird problem with my eye and just feeling generally like I'm dying.
Oh, no.
And that everything is awful.
Oh.
And I pressed play on my podcast app. Mm-hmm. And the man that was on the podcast said, "Everything's okay." And I hit stop
"Everything's okay."
Yeah. What if it was? Mm-hmm. Which got me in mind of, I think I'm stealing this idea from someone, and it's kind of a concept of like a sort of a flow chart of like, because I've been thinking about worry and like I'm a worrier. I don't know. I've always been a worrier.
Sure.
What did you say? Sorry.
Oh no! I understand the word that you said now.
I heard Wooly.
Not warrior. Like the dubstep artist Wooly. Yeah. That's what you mean.
Warrior. Worry. I worry. Don't worry. Be happy. I worry. And
oh wow, that's a whole thing. Right? Don't worry, not... be happy. I worry. A title.
Yeah, title. So there's this idea that like if you've got something that you're worried about, it's a flowchart that branches off into two paths, and path one is, can you do something about it? In which case, don't worry about it. Yeah, do something about it, and there you go. If you can't do anything about it. Don't worry about it. Like, why worry about it? Because you can't do anything about it. And then there's the whole, like, I'm worried about what it will uncover if I do it. And then it's just like it branches off again.
Yeah.
So there's that. And so as I stood up, I just thought, we don't have these so much anymore, but I was going to build it as an app as like an iOS or an Android app. And then I just thought, no, I'll just build it as a little web app.
There you go.
And all it's going to be is a button in the middle of the page and you tap it and it just goes, everything's okay. And I thought it would be nice if each time you tapped it, it was a different, like I'll record a bunch to begin with.
Sure.
And then anybody else who wants to record one, just saying everything's okay, can record one. And it'll just randomly, you press the button and it'll find a random MP3 part file of someone saying everything's okay. And it'll just tell you everything's okay.
Amazing.
I think,
I love it.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's what the world needs. There's my latest project, Sharks. There you go. Before we continue to the main event, what was that face?
Sharks,
as in, you know, Shark Tank?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Here we call them dragons because we have dragons then.
I'm a little slow on the references today.
It's all right.
That's great.
I am...
Also, I'm balking a little bit at main event. I think that implies something that it shouldn't, but...
Okay, that's fine.
Carry on.
That's fine. the content, before we get into the content, because this isn't the content.
Is this the show?
I am enjoying your facial hair.
Oh, thank you. That's my second compliment.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about it, and neither is Margaret, but we're all experiencing this together.
Just keep going, you know? It's fluffy at the moment.
Yeah, it's warm.
Yep. Yeah, you do. I tell you what, a few years... even a few months, actually, of having something on your face, you do notice it when it's not there.
Especially in the
philtrum. Yep. Gosh. But no, I'm enjoying it. Anyway.
Thank you.
That's just for us.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And, I grew a beard in 2020, and it did not look good.
I'm trying to remember. I think I might... Do I remember seeing you in a beard? I might remember.
It was maybe only a little bit longer than this.
Of course, you had the tash.
Yeah, yeah. That grew in like that looked fantastic. if I do say so myself, even Margaret liked it. But my beard was patchy and not great. But now it's a bit more even somehow.
And yeah, I don't know if it's true, but a thing that people say is if you grow it and shave it and grow it and shave it, it grows back better each time.
Oh, interesting. So,
Yeah. That I think, because I think I used to be fairly patchy, and now I can go fairly fulsome. I have a question for you.
Tell me. Ask me.
What is what's going on at the NFT museum?
Well, when last we left our
hero,
it was an unknown black box in downtown Seattle of who knows what was going on inside the NFT Museum of Seattle, Washington, USA. And it turns out we shall never know. Mm. So I went up to Seattle on Saturday to go see Knox Vaughn at Aura Nightclub and parked in the same parking spot, which I just find hilarious, because there is no parking downtown. Like, there is none. It's all street parking. There, you know, there's parking garages or whatever here and there if I wanted to pay $15 for 4 hours.
Like an animal in this
savage
economy?
What
in this economy? Bunch of savage in this town.
I'm probably being generous. It's probably like $25. I don't even know. You know, all the street parking is just packed and full, and so like just happened to pull up into the same spot, and it was great, right in front of the NFT museum, which no longer is boarded up. Not it wasn't boarded up, but there was like paper on the walls, or it was tinted or something. It was all black. Mm-hmm. It was no longer all black. You could see inside the building, and it was empty because it was for lease. Because there's no more NFT museum. Mm. So the world will never know. But yeah,
there is there is a smart joke to be made somewhere, and I don't know enough about crypto or the blockchain or whatever. Sure. But there is definitely something to be made. Maybe the owners didn't have the right proof of stake. That's a crypto joke.
That's great. I like it.
Yeah.
I was going to make a meta joke about your meta joke about not knowing enough about it. I was like, I don't think anybody did.
No.
I don't think anybody knew enough about NFTs to warrant going. So,
no, Roscoe definitely had an opinion that he wanted to voice there as you were as you were discussing that. But whether my noise gate picked him up, we'll never know until you, dear listener, write in and tell us.
Convergencepod@icloud.com.
So what else happened while you were there?
Yeah, so saw Knox Vaughn. It was great. Oh, so I waited outside in the I got there early because I like to get early to a nightclub because I'm the only one that cares about the actual music going on instead of the booze, I think. I don't know.
All right, granddad.
In my day, when I had to get to a nightclub, I had to wait in line both ways.
Miles.
so I'm getting there as the bouncers are setting up the little posts with the stretchy lines. What's that? You know what? Whatever that's called.
So have you ever started a line?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I did this time.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course. This is good because you and I have both done this.
It's kind of funny because they were like, oh, you're here for the show? Oh.
Yeah.
And I'm like 5 minutes early. I'm not like fucking camping outside or anything. I'm just like there ready to get there when the doors open. The ticket says 10 p.m., which already late. Like, okay. I mean, I'm an old man, so it's already late.
But welcome to 40.
They don't open the doors until 10:15.
Right.
Because they're just not ready yet. Although there's three stages. One of the stages has a DJ playing music. I can hear it through the wall poorly. And
well, you don't want to, I mean, that makes sense because you don't want to be the first in and then the guy's like,
time to turn on.
Play.
Of course. But like for 15 minutes, just like, and okay, that's going on, you know, that's going on. And also the bouncers are talking with each other, trying to set up this line for people to be able to get in, and how much of the sidewalk they want to block off or allow people to get past. And there's apparently multiple ticketed shows going on, and so people could be going, it splits off and people could be going to one section or going upstairs to the other section. And they're trying to figure this out, and they're talking, and two of the characters have very strong New York accents and mannerisms. Like, yeah, it's completely that. It's like, you're not a New Yorker? Like, just all of this stuff. That was a bit more Jersey, I think. But anyways.
Yeah.
And they are telling each other, as an expert, how to set up this line to their fellow bouncer, who they think has never done bouncing before in their life.
See, what you gotta understand is if you get the line moving here, then the people over there, then I get out of people,
and then the guy who just received that message talks to the other guy like he's an expert in the field, and that guy has never worked a day in his life. Back and forth. There's like a rotating cast of four or five different bouncers that are all doing this to each other.
Who's in charge here? They all
move the posts slightly, like 2 inches. Like, no, it's got to be here. And it's like, nobody cares. That doesn't matter at all. That didn't affect anything. Your job is pointless. Anyway, it's not pointless. They keep people out and then let people in. They do a job. Anyways, I get in, and there's a intro DJ. What's a
warm up?
Yeah, warm up. I mean,
aperitif.
I feel like a DJ aperitif. Yes, and
gotta find out if that's a real DJ. He's definitely Swiss.
Oh, I love it. And he only opens. He never headlines. opener is the word I was looking for.
Oh, sure, opener.
And after the opener, there's a duo that comes on, goes back to back, and they're pretty good. And then the Noxavon comes on, and he fucking steals the show. It's incredible. Shortly, within 10 to 15 minutes of dancing to the opener, I lose myself, and I'm just in a zone. I'm just, there's nobody else there. It's just me getting sound waves blasted at me. And I start to feel bad. I start to feel I'm out of my body. I'm out of my head, and just my heart starts to feel bad. I feel bad about myself. I feel embarrassed, not about my dancing, but about my actions. And I'm exploring this feeling for a while, and a couple things kind of occur to me. They're not new thoughts, but they're kind of presented to myself in a way that was unfelt before. And they had to do with God mode and apple picking. And so God mode being kind of like the future oriented and apple picking kind of being past oriented, I'm ashamed of my actions. What kind of happened, I think, is like, my morals or my integrity or my, I don't know a better word to say than those, like maybe up-leveled or changed. And I'm at this place now where I want to live with a bit more integrity, and I have certain values I want to uphold. And I am looking at some things in retrospect, and those things in my past don't live up to my current standards. And so I feel embarrassment over those past actions and the things that I'm doing now and think about for the near future are also not aligning with how I want to represent myself and how I want to be. And so I feel a bit of shame and embarrassment about that. And so for the past stuff is the apple picking. Like, now, I no longer hold that as a value, as a as something I pride myself, I used to pride myself in it, and I used to feel really a sense of accomplishment, a sense of not superiority, but just like, pride and justification and I'm stumbling around the right word, but something like this. And, you know, through the teachings of Jesus, it's not just Jesus, but like through trying to work on myself and trying to, you know, think about what best impacts myself and my fellow humans, that it came to me that that is not something that represents how I want to treat other people. So that was like kind of my past actions and reflection on how I have been. And then thinking about where I am and where I'm going with God mode, I am, and we've just recently talked about this, about how I don't feel good about my body at the moment and some of the things that I've been eating and doing. And you've mentioned, and I've thought many times about, I know the code now. I know the thing to get back on to protocol. I have the tools, so I can just do it.
It's not that fucking simple, is it? It turns out.
Yeah. And it's not. And I feel a lot of shame around that because, it turns out I'm human and I'm flawed.
Sure. Yeah. I like that you sort of said that with a you know, degree of irony.
Yeah.
But that's something we can look at even more. But I don't want to put a pin in that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But this voice came up from my heart to the rest of me that just said, fucking do it. 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 And it stayed with me the entire night for on the beat, just the whole rest of the night. Fucking do it. Fucking do it. Fucking do it. Fucking do it. All night. It never left me. And part of me was like trying to keep it too. I'm like, yeah, fucking do it. Like, I'm going to keep this going because I don't want to forget. I don't want to be after. I don't want to walk away from this and just be like, oh, street lamps and people yelling and whatever. But having it in my head still, so that when I got to my car and fell asleep because I wasn't going to drive home at 2:30 in the morning, that I would wake up the next morning and remember it again. And I did. I was really happy about that. And so what that meant to me was, if I'm going to be somebody who is telling other people what works and what could work for them or anything like that, I have a certain standard of myself that I want to hold, that I feel like I need to hold in order to feel like any sort of authority. Putting aside the fact of whether I even want to do that at all anymore anyway, but I've created this protocol. I always, from the beginning, I always said I've created this protocol for myself and I'm not doing it. I typically say that I've been creating the protocol for me of 10 years ago because I was thinking of, you know, my target audience kind of
thing. But the problem is you are you of 2 years ago, 18 months ago,
yeah,
maybe a year ago, which is not you of 10 years ago.
Yeah. And the person that really needs it is the me of now.
Yeah.
And the me of for the next couple of years or rest of my life. So yeah, the fucking do it was me telling myself, just do the protocol. Like, you made the protocol, fucking do it.
Okay.
Live it, prove it. Yeah. And then also there was another aspect of it, a little bit of manifestation type feeling coming up, a little bit of like the reward for doing it. Like, you fucking do it, you fucking do it, and you'll get this extra part, which is fuck and do it. So, because, you know, you say something over and over again, you start hearing it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just fucking do it, mm-hmm. it was fuck and do it. And to me, that, like, I'm 40, as we've discussed. Bodies change, and on top of the health conditions I've got going on, which have affected my sexual abilities, my age is also showing its impact as well, and it's just kind of more difficult in different ways. than it used to be. And when I'm on protocol, it's easier. When I'm off protocol, it's harder. And that's something that I can control. Speaking of your tiered app situation, or not app, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, the flowchart, yeah.
The flowchart. Here is something I can control. So go and fucking do it. And you do it, and you'll be able to fuck better. And you'll be able to do better. And I love fucking doing. I fucking do all over the place. And
I do fuck all over the place.
I fuck all over the place, and I do all over the place, and I fucking love it. So this might be the episode with the most fucks. So yeah, you fucking do it, and you get to fucking do it. So that's what happened to me as I was dancing to Noxibon. And now, give us the ears to hear and the mind to truly listen.
Well, one of us has to say something, otherwise we're done with a podcast.
I mean, we still have a podcast. It's an audio file on an RSS feed. No one said there had to be content.
No one said there would be content involved. So on the shame thing is, that's quite a lot.
Yeah. It wasn't oppressive shame. It wasn't like, oh, I'm such a loser, I'm so bad, or whatever. It was, there was no negative self-talk. It was just like, oh, that no longer aligns with my current values.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And I feel a little bit guilty.
Okay.
Like, current me is like, pass me. Come on.
Yeah, that's the difference between guilt and shame, I think. I've heard it described as guilt is feeling bad about what you did. Shame is feeling bad about who you are.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've got guilt. I've got guilt. I've definitely got shame, and I'm working on it.
You're perfect.
You mentioned the sort of, in that kind of tone of like, oh, I'm human.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to get into that a little bit because.
Because you're not?
Is no.
This coming out? Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm an intergalactic super intelligent shade of the color blue. You are. Okay. So there's lots of things. In my head at the moment, and funnily enough, I was on a work mandated Zoom call yesterday, and whilst on said call, I had this thought that I popped in my little. I'm back to writing. I have this thing I call my day book, and I'm back to writing in it. So I have an something's just happened. In that Notion wants me to try something, and I'm not going to try it now. I wrote down, I'm an expert practitioner, not an expert coach, expert consultant, or expert content creator. Stop sharing what to do, start sharing what you did / do. And this was, like, I was watching someone who nominally, like, I kind of was wanting to do what they did, and there was overlap there. But this person's very good at this particular thing that they do, and I'm just like, I don't need to pretend like I'm at that level. I don't need to be thinking about, because the whole thing was about like content creation for work, you know, for helping sell, for example, a product like the God Mode Protocol. So it was podcast specific. So it might be, you're going to start. You're going to create the God Mode podcast, or what was it? I won't tell you what to do.
yep.
Which has a direct through line to getting people to sign up to a cohort, for example.
Yeah.
And there was a time not that long ago when this would have been the next, like, as the kids say, unlock for me. Of like, this is what I need to do. Right, this is how I need to structure. And I'm going to go into my new work-based podcast that I've created for my business. And this is how I'm going to do it. And actually, like, they're really, really good ideas. So this isn't me saying that they weren't. They're really, very, 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 very good. Very things that I would say, actually, for you, if you're still curious in this area. And I've got the book on my in my queue. which is, I believe it's called Simple Marketing for Smart People. Something like that. And there's a thing in there called the chain of beliefs, which are things that people have to believe in order to buy your thing. And if they could believe that you are the right person to help them, they could believe that the offer you have is the right thing, they could understand the problem. But if there's something at the beginning where they don't believe something in themselves, like they don't believe they are capable of change, for example, they're not going to buy into your product.
Yeah.
And so there's the whole thing in that. It's very good.
That resonates.
So I had this sort of moment yesterday of going, I'm not trying to be that anymore. And I was struck a little bit by thinking about Morning Creative and how I slammed hard into that, like, I'm doing fine. Fucking hell, I'm burnt out.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, and I hate this now. And a lot of that, I think, came from incongruity, came from a lack of integrity. And the thing that's interesting about integrity is we think of it in terms of like being honest and an upstanding guy.
Sure.
And that's part of our modern understanding, but also it's things are integrated and you are, you know, they are put together, they are sort of solid and they kind of knit together. And, you know, we talk about things being integral, meaning they are very important and you can be disintegrated, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so if you aren't feeling like you are like you've created this, it's fair enough having a protocol, but you've created this standard by which to judge yourself.
Yeah.
And it's fair enough looking at past you and going, hey, you know, Brendan Dunn raised the bar, and past Brendan turns out didn't meet that bar.
Yeah.
Or there were actions that Brendan did that didn't meet that bar.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, past is the past.
Yeah.
Fuck it off into a bin. That's fine.
Yeah.
Where it's difficult, and I don't know if one always knows it at the time, or if one can see it at the time, but if you are not acting, speaking completely, if there's a part of you that's going, the emperor has no clothes, disguise. You know, maybe this guy's full of bullshit. And it's like, yeah, we can talk about negative self-talk. Yeah, we can talk about imposter syndrome. But if there's a guy that truly thinks, yeah, but no, there's like, you don't actually know what you're talking about. Or, and I'm not saying that's the case for you. Or, you know, for in your case, it might be, you know, you're not actively getting on the protocol again.
Yeah.
It's really tricky because you're not integrated. What I'm interested in for you is so after that there's lots of things I'm interested in, but let's build on this thread for now. After that moment of fucking do it, have you made any changes? And there isn't I'm not seeking a particular answer here.
I have internally I do feel a stronger resolve to
good word
make better choices. Make more protocol compliant choices to remove judgment from it, judgment language. And there have been opportunities for me, present, you know, things off protocol presented to me, free and easy. And I have turned them down without feeling bad about it, without feeling like I'm missing out, feeling good about my choices and my future. And that's kind of the hardest part. No, that's not necessarily the hardest part, but it's an early hard part of making the decision to not have that free coffee or not have even a little small little thing that's sweet or whatever. I did have one circumstance where I did not stay on protocol, and it was like almost immediate. It was the day after, and it was kind of a bit of a moral quandary. It like tiny, but it was Mother's Day, and we were at Margaret's parents' place. Margaret made an incredible strawberry shortcake with these like little sweet biscuits instead of like the angel food cake or whatever it is. And it was just marvelous. And the part of like, I could have just said, no, thanks. I'll just skip dessert and I'll just have dinner and no dessert. And that's fine. But also part of me was like, well, do I want that to be what the protocol is that I have to skip every dessert for the rest of my life? Do I want to not participate in the gathering? Do I want to omit myself from this communal experience where we're all having this tasty treat? I'm not supposed to say treat. Tasty mouth party.
Stop it.
I know. I'm just having fun. And I decided to have some. And I decided to consciously have just the portion that everybody else was having, an equal part, and not go back for seconds, and not like lust over more, but enjoy what I got and stop when I'm full. And yeah, just have that. This reminded me of something else that just wanted to share. It's related but unrelated. I am trying to do two opposite things at the same time. I desperately want to follow my protocol and use it to heal myself, especially the POTS. I also want to practice intuitive eating. And part of intuitive eating is to not have a protocol, not to have a diet plan that you're going off of. But there's things I can't unlearn. Like, I know how bad some things are for me. And even though they look delicious and I kind of want them, I'm trying to blaze a new trail here in my neural pathways that says, yeah, I can have that if I want it. I can have it anytime. There's no scarcity. It's not bad. It's just a food. And I'm not going to choose that right now because I want to do these things for my health. And it's hard, but I'm doing it.
And yes, there are three things that occur to me.
Great. Tell me in order.
So in order, the first thing is a thought I had, and I think they're all, certainly the first two are connected. When you were talking about the pudding, we say pudding interchangeably with dessert, so we don't mean like the mousse thing, you know, chocolate pudding. The dessert.
Yeah.
And you had your portion, yeah. And you described not lusting after.
Yeah.
The thought arrived, and so, like, you know, as we've discussed, sometimes thoughts aren't even what you think. So, like, I don't know if there's anything in this thought, but the thought occurred. Can we practice? This is going to sound awful. And it's not awful. It's just going to sound like it doesn't belong, like the words turn to ash in my mouth. But is there a gratitude practice?
Yeah.
We can undertake to be grateful for the slice of cake that we had.
Yeah.
Rather than.
Why does that turn to ash?
Just like gratitude. Just some of the language is just like, ugh, like fucking. I grew up in a council. I didn't grow up on a council estate, but I sort of did. I grew up in a rough area of town. Like, I can't use words. I can't use things like that. Anyway, it's fine.
I'm grateful for you and your perspective and history.
Thank you. I'm awesome. So
yes, I'm glad you can admit it.
Yeah. Finally. So there's that idea of just like taking a moment when you find yourself going, it's just over there. I could easily
get,
and this cake slice is just there. I could just slide it underneath and just, I could, in seconds, I could have another slice of cake in my mouth.
In seconds, I could have seconds.
I used to say that my favorite food was seconds. the idea that, you know, I'm playing around with is like, can you sit there and go, I'm really grateful
for what I got,
for what I've just had, which is more than I need.
That's interesting. I sometimes practice the gratitude at the beginning,
which brings me on to my second point.
Yeah, I would say like, oh, thank you, cow, for sacrificing your life and allowing me to eat this meal of you. And yeah, but I hadn't ever thought of thinking after, especially not for something that wasn't like alive in the way that we think of animals as being alive. So that's interesting. I'll definitely consider that.
So you mentioned before the meal, and I had, from a strictly non-religious point of view, recently considered some form of saying grace.
Yeah.
Before a meal.
Yeah.
To acknowledge what's gone in to that particular thing that you're going to eat. You know, there's the the many hands meditation, which my friend Anya, patron saint of the podcast, has done before, which is a way of understanding the many hands that go into the clothes you wear, the iPhone you carry with you, and the, you know, the various things.
Yeah, the assembler, the truck driver, the
yeah,
all the different parts and pieces.
It's phenomenal, and I think there's a, there's an interesting thing there that might be like. So there's a book by a famous now famous historian called Rutger Bregman, I believe is his name, and he's got a new book called, well, it's essentially about how corporate people should leave their corporate jobs and go and save the world.
Yes,
and his number one thing is you should go vegan, and because of the. Because of the whole, you know, mass cruelty thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's just, that's jumping the gun, jumping a step. But yeah.
Well, not to him. For him, it's like step one. It's like the least you can do. And this is,
Oh, no, no. I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a step I'm not ready for. But I think there is something to be said for sitting down to, because like, you know, I don't know if you did it as a kid, like sit there and go, I'm grateful for you, cow, for this. And it's like very sweet. And we think about the cow and it's like, no, no, this thing died screaming. This thing died afraid.
Sure.
This thing lived miserably and died afraid. And fucking hell, it's delicious. With a bit of butter and, you know, and some garlic. My God.
Yeah, and you can taste that shit. You can taste that fear and you can taste that torment in a factory farmed cow. It's fucking gross.
Yeah.
And you get a fucking pasture raised fucking wild animal. It tastes so rich and pure and good and of the earth. It's amazing. And it benefits the ecology. Anyways, this is not the point.
No, 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 no. I've got my big like cynical hat on, and I would. I'm not sure how much of like the stuff that we get from a supermarket that says it's pasture fed, corn raised, all that stuff. Yeah. So many things can be said with packaging. I don't know how much of that I actually buy, but. That as I like, you're right, and I remember this thing from the Hannibal Lecter TV series about how I can't remember if it was pigs being slaughtered or it was other animals that they would play certain sounds in the abattoir so that the pigs didn't get frightened or the pigs couldn't hear the squealing of other pigs because fear tainted the meat.
For sure. You
know, adrenaline and or the acid or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
So there's something there about sort of saying grace, which I think
could be more mindful
about what you're about to consume, I think could be interesting.
Yeah. Turns out religions have a lot of really interesting and kind of meaningful practices, whether you believe in the above an overarching sort of dogma or not. Mm-hmm.
I've never not agreed with that. Then the last thing is, and this may be naive or silly or a false dichotomy, but as you were talking about sort of returning to the protocol, or actually more specifically about having that slice of that piece of dessert. I was thinking a little bit about the whole mindfulness returning to the breath thing and how when we find ourselves distracted, we don't go, fuck's sake, you got distracted again. You're supposed to, you know, we go, huh. And then we just get back at, and then we start from one again.
Yeah.
And I like that as an idea. Whether it works, I don't know. But I, you know, I like that mm-hmm. idea of just going, mm-hmm. you know, no, this was a deliberate moment. This was a deliberate choice mm-hmm. to, like, I often come back to that phrase breaking bread because there's something
yeah,
kind of, you know, substantial in that. Like, there's something sure. kind of real and human in that idea of the communal thing of coming together. Like, it's important. It is part of us. You know, it's. I was very lucky that growing up in our family, like, we ate at a dinner table and we didn't have TV on. You know, 19 times out of 20, there was no TV on. Sure. I think maybe as we got a little bit older, there was. But you know, and we talked and we had conversations and we ate fucking so much bread. Oh my God,
like
almost every meal. There would be two slices of, like, everyone had a saucer with, like, two slices of bread, buttered bread, with whatever we were having, pretty much.
Sure.
And it was like, it was a moment. It was a moment in our family when that stopped. It was like, oh. Now, like, I wouldn't think to do it, but back, you know, when we were kids, it's like, in two slices of bread with every meal, whatever it was. Pasta? Bread.
Why'd it stop?
Oh, because we were all getting too fat.
Okay.
And that was seen as like probably the first thing that we could do to help that.
Yeah.
I've always been a fat kid though.
Me too.
Yeah. But there's something there that I like about just going, like, you've got a plan, and once you decide you're on the yeah. plan, that's fine, and we're doing the plan, and then yeah. intentionally sort of saying, I'm stepping off the plan, you know, for this intentional moment. The difficulty for me anyway, and I don't know how it is for you, possibly similar, is like when you find yourself having made the decision later, it's like, oh shit, how did I get here? Suddenly, you know,
yeah,
I've climbed into the fridge. Like, how did this happen?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Like, I like that. I like this analogy with the meditation and coming back to your breath. Because I do feel like that's how I have been treating it unconsciously. And yeah, at a certain point, I've kind of noticed that I'm following my train of thought and not coming back to my breath. And now, and then I've been hard on myself for just ignoring, like, I know I got to get back to my breath, whatever. I'm still breathing.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna follow this train of thought for a while.
Yeah,
and I didn't want to get off the train.
Yeah. That's a very
now,
good yeah and analogy.
I want to get off the train
because that's real.
Yeah, and now I'm like, okay, I thought all the thoughts.
Yeah,
and I'm going to get back to my breath. A person who thinks all the time has nothing to think about except thoughts.
In my head, I suddenly went to a politician then, because that's often an accusation, or a similar accusation is levied at career politicians because they've never really had a job. So they don't know what it's like to be a person.
Oh, interesting.
And then they seek to govern people. It's like, you haven't been a person. You've just gone from your public school education, which is not how a person actually lives. That's not how people do.
No, it is not.
Through to then being in office and governing people, which, again, is not. And you haven't at any point peopled.
Right.
So, yeah, like, to quote Jarvis Cocker, rent a flat above a shop, grow your hair and get a job, smoke some fags and play some pool, pretend you never went to school, still you'll never get it right, because when you're laying in bed at night, watching roaches climb up the walls, if you called your dad, he could stop it. You'll never live like common people. You'll never do what common people do. Yep. You'll never fail like common people. You'll never watch your life slide out of view and then dance and drink and screw because there's nothing else to do. Fuck me, those are incredible lyrics.
I know. God, it's so
my
good.
God.
So good.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, so this is from Alan Watts. A person who thinks all the time has nothing to think about except thoughts. So he loses touch with reality and lives in a world of illusions. By thoughts, I mean specifically chatter in the skull, perpetual and compulsive repetition of words, of reckoning, of calculating. Now, I'm not saying that thinking is bad. Like everything else, it's useful in moderation. A good servant, but a bad master. These so-called civilized people have increasingly become crazy and self-destructive because through excessive thinking, they have lost touch with reality. That is to say, we confuse signs, words, numbers, symbols, and ideas with the real world. We would somehow rather have money than tangible wealth. A great occasion is somehow spoiled for us unless photographed. And to read it about it in the next day in the newspaper is somehow more impactful for us than the actual event. This is a disaster. Thank you, Alan Watts. Oh, yeah. No, and as always, mopping is just spreading the dirt evenly across the entire floor. And correct me if I'm wrong.
There you go.
While I was there, while I was not at the NFT museum, but while I was in the nightclub dancing to Knox Vaughn, which was such a good time, I had some revelations, sort of. Kind of got into a zone, got into my groove, got into... Oh, you said that you wanted to start us off. That just hit me. Why don't you start us off?